Welcome to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com. Now, stay tuned for our latest episode of Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are joined today by our guest, Mada Loveson, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And on this show, we love to celebrate accomplished international political leaders, and Mada is definitely one of those. So we have the incredible opportunity and honor to speak with her today. So Mada, I'd love to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much for that.
Again, it's an incredible honor, and we'd love to know about your background and your politics and your role as the former Deputy Prime Minister of Sweden.
Well, actually, I started on a farm. I grew up out in the rural areas on a farm. My mom and dad were farmers, so it was quite simple that time. We didn't have that much money, but we had food on our tables. The thing I learned from my background is that it is nice to be an entrepreneur. You have to work very hard. I also saw my mom and dad working very closely together, which was very important for me. My father had a lot of respect for my mother and vice versa. My father always taught me that I could do everything, and he encouraged me a lot. And I think that's an important thing when you grow up and when you're not so self-confident, that you have a mom and dad that supports you and say that you can do a lot more than you believe. I also, as I grew up in the rural areas, a lot of other people from the cities, they didn't look at people in the rural areas as we were not the biggest or the most fanciest ones. So I had to fight a lot to take my place in the school, to take my place when we were out as young people. And I started quite early. I was 14 years old when I started to be active in a youth organization for the Center Party. And in that youth organization, I learned a lot about how important it is to work together to get people to listen to you. And we were a group of young girls that supported each other. And we also trained a lot how to be smarter, how to act smarter, what we need to do to get others to listen to us. So that was very important, all the things that we learned in our youth organization. And when I look back now as a former politician, and you told about my position as a former deputy prime minister, I can see now that I learned a lot in this young age in our youth organization that was important when I was the deputy prime minister.
Definitely. And, you know, when we're young, our brains are sponges. So to have that type of exposure with other girls who are also trying to advance themselves, I can see a lot of similarities between what you experienced when you were younger and what I'm currently experiencing with Women Investing in Women, is that these types of experiences really cultivate you and give you new experiences that you definitely take when you get older. So I can definitely appreciate that. And I'd love to also know your duties within being a former deputy prime minister and also the minister for enterprise and energy, the types of things that you were able to do, the opportunities that you got to have as those positions.
Well, as I mentioned, I got the experience from my background that it was important to be an entrepreneur, and that it's important that we have entrepreneurs that want to create new jobs. And as a party leader and also a minister, I saw that there were so many women that had so good ideas, but they didn't have any chance to start up their own business or grow in their business. Because if I look at the financing system, the advisory system, the training system, all the things that we had in the environment for entrepreneurs, it was all created for men and by men. And it was not because men are evil or because they have just created this for men. They have created it in the old days when we had these big industries growing up, and especially here in Sweden, and many of the women were not involved in that type of industries. They wanted to start businesses in the service sector, a lot of them. They had new business ideas, which the banks didn't understand, the advisory system didn't understand, and so on. So I said to myself, now when I'm a minister of enterprise, I can start up a program for women in business, and I can create an environment which makes it as easy for men and women to start their own business and grow in their business. Mm-hmm. So we started the microfinances system, we started advisory and training system, we created a network of women ambassadors for women in business all over Sweden, 880 women all over Sweden. They agreed to be an ambassador for women in business because we saw that there were a lack of role models for other women, and many of these women, they went out to schools, they went out to different kinds of meetings and told the stories about their own business, and when they told that stories, a lot of others said that, well, if she can do it, I can do it. Mm-hmm. They have done a fantastic job. And I also started a work where I wanted to know the statistics about the entrepreneurship, but also about the support system. Because I have learned the lesson that facts and figures are important when you discuss equal rights between men and women. Because if you don't have facts and figures, you can always say, well, we don't know. It's not sure that it's so unequal. But when you have facts and figures, you can see that when you do this, when you do that, the result become different. And we have changed a lot of system because we saw that the majority of the finance were designed more for men running business. So we changed a lot in our system because of that.
Awesome. It's not necessarily supported by facts and figures, but to go along with what you were saying about the position of equality in politics and beyond, what was it like to be a woman in such a high political position?
Well, it was difficult, of course, because the role model we have for politicians are men. We know how they speak, how they act, how they walk, and how they talk. When women take that position, they always say that we are different. Mm-hmm. And we are different because the role model is, they are men. And it is very important that many more women take the leading positions, because then people get to know women in leading positions and see that some leaders are men and some leaders are women. I could see it when we discussed different kinds of issues that the journalists, they were not used to have a minister or enterprise talking about the automotive industry, and she was a woman. Mm-hmm. Because many of the journalists, they didn't even believe that I could understand anything about the automotive industry. And when I went to the car exhibition and show in Detroit, I remember that when I came there, I am sure that, well, 95% of the attendant people there were men. And some women were there and they were sitting on the car. So it was so so an unequal pattern I saw there, and I also saw it when the journalists were talking to me, that they didn't believe that a woman could talk about the automobile industry. And that was the same in energy discussion. It was the same when we're talking about the steel industry, the forest industry, because they were so used to talk to men in that type of subjects. So I had to fight quite hard to show them that I had knowledge enough to talk about that and take decision about that. But it was quite tough, I must say that.
Definitely. And Maude, we are going to continue this conversation after we get back from our first break. And to all of our listeners out there, be sure to go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag womeninvest and the hashtag girlsinvest. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Maude Loveson, as well as Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And Maude, I'd love to know from you, being in Sweden, and we always talk about how Sweden is progressive compared to other countries. We've talked to guests that have talked about the great maternity benefits that Sweden has compared to other countries, just for an example. But as we know that no country is perfect, and Sweden also faces some issues with equality, like you mentioned in our past section of the conversation. So I'd like to know what your take is on the position of equality in Sweden with between women and men.
Well, one must say that, well, we are in a good position, and one must also say that many women in our political parties, all political parties, have worked very, very hard to have taken us to this position where we are now. And I remember my mother, when she was telling me about going to the first political meeting in the 40s, where she said, well, many men say that if you are here, you have lost left your children at home, and that's not fair. So it was quite a hard time for them when they started this discussion about equal rights. And of course, a lot of legislation have taken place here about maternity leave, about preschool development, about the school development, about legislation, about equal rights, about tax legislation, and many other things. And of course, you have to take that step by step. The challenge we have today is that we don't have enough leaders in top positions, especially when we talk about the big businesses. We have still around just 20% of the board members are women in Sweden, which is a very, very low figure, even lower than many other countries. So we are strong in the political life, but we are weak when it comes to businesses. And one reason for that is that we haven't had a high figure when it comes to entrepreneurship for women. And the reason for that is that we have a lot of our welfare system is public-owned and public-driven, and that makes it difficult for many women to start their business in the welfare sector. We have to work more, even though we have maternity leave and many more fathers take their leave and take care of the children. There is still a majority of the women that takes care of the children. So we have to develop that too. And our social secure system has to be more equal when you compare men and women. And one can also see that even though girls and young women are much more efficient or bright in at the universities, and they do much better result, they don't get paid for it. So there is also a work to do. And the reason for that is, of course, that it is a quite conservative labor organization when you discuss about the the salaries for men and women. So still we have a lot to do, and we haven't had any women on the woman on the top position in the political life. But now we have a new election coming up here in Sweden, and for the first time there is a real chance that we get a woman as a prime minister, which is a great thing to look forward to. And I'm going to work hard for that here.
Fantastic. Maude, this is Anu Bardwaj. I wanted to ask you about your work with women on boards. I know that this is something that you were championing while you were in office.
Yeah, and in our program for women in business, there was a lot of discussion about how can we support women to get into the boards. And there was a lot of discussion about legislation. Many of the proposals were that we should have a legislation where we oblige every company to have at least 40%, or some said even 50% in the boards before some date in the coming years. I'm not so fond of that, because I think that if you take a legislation on equal rights or representation for men and women, you shouldn't just talk about boards. You should talk about other, like the labor organization. You should talk about the churches. You should talk about the social society and social economy. So as a legislator, you should look at the whole pattern if you want to make a change like that. And I think it's better if you work with positive activities, and the education for women to take position in boards was one of the initiatives that I started up. And I think today we have had around 200 and 300 women in a training program, and we gave them a lot of good training, and we also had a mentor program where we invited men, mostly men from the private sector and from the big companies, to be mentors. And many of these women are now in boards, different kinds of both small and medium-sized ones and bigger ones. And that was we got quite a good result from that.
Definitely. Let's talk about one of those initiatives, the Women Up Sweden movement as part of the IWBL. Do you mind talking a little bit about the work that you've done through that program and how that idea came about?
Well, it started by Hillary Clinton when she was the Secretary of State. She invited 22 women from the whole world to discuss with her how can we promote women business entrepreneurship. And she wanted to use her position as a state secretary to change how things were going on, not just in the rich countries, even more in many of the poor countries out in the world. One reason for that was also that she saw that if you connect women entrepreneurship and leadership, there are so many women that start up their own business that also become leaders after that. And she also seen, like we all had, that programs and initiatives to support women in many countries is a very good way of develop a country. Because what women do when they start up their own business is that when they get the first money, they invest in their children, in their education, and they also give the children food. So it is very important globally that we support women all over. I got the opportunity to be the chair of the leadership committee, which was a subcommittee, and we proposed some things, some actions, and some political proposals from that committee. And one thing we discussed in the committee was training, how important it was, or it is. We talked about mentorship, which is also very important for women who wants to take leadership. We talked about networking, which is the third thing, and role models. And we said that, well, we want to start up something globally, but we start in Sweden because I was from Sweden. But now we have started a training program for 40 women with 40 mentors. And there we have a cooperation with McKinsey. And we have developed a program where we use the center leadership program that McKinsey have developed. And we also have network activities where we train these women to act as leaders and give them self-confident to be an active leader. And I think we have been quite successful, and we want to continue next year, and we also want to make it more global. It's very nice to see how it's developing.
It's a great program, and we've learned about other programs as well from past guests of helping women get those leadership positions, and this is just another one of those great, great resources that women can use that is truly changing the whole dynamic of the country and the position of women all over, not just in that country, that it's the message and the opportunities that are given spread. So it's definitely a very, very important way that women can get involved. And we will continue to talk about this after our next break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. And once again, we are continuing our discussion with Mada Lufson, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And before we got to the break, we talked about the types of programs that women are being a part of in Sweden to teach them about leadership and to try to get more women in leadership positions. And Maud, you actually have a few golden rules of leadership, shall we say, that you'd like to talk about on different things that women can try to follow to get to those positions. So if you mind sharing a little bit about that.
Yeah, and we developed that in the ICVBL subcommittee on leadership. And we were sitting and talking about how can we in our daily life, both men and women, support other women. And we said, there can be some golden rules to follow. Like if you have a speech and you want to tell the audience something, just mention some women name. Because if you mention these names, women that have done good things, they are in the room and they get more important. If you are invited to a TV show or to a conference or whatever, and you see that there are just men sitting and discussing things, just mention that, well, I'm not interested in listening to a group of men. If you don't have any women there, it's not interesting for me. If you're invited to sit in a board or invite to go to a conference and you see that you're invited alone, just mention some other women that they could invite. So you have a broader variety of people coming there. If you're sitting on your daily work and they want to send people to a conference and to some training courses, always mention women, because if they get supported, they can also take new positions. And if you see something wrong, mention it and say, well, I think this is strange. I can't see any women here. Why haven't you invited women to these activities? So just be aware in your daily life that women are there. Women are seen and women are mentioned. And I think if we all do this and be aware of the situation that we have right now and try to encourage more women and try to support women, I think we can change quite a lot on the basic ground. And that can also result later on that we have more women in a leadership position.
Awesome. So what I got from that is trying to increase diversity and awareness of having more women in leadership positions by speaking up and being part of the conversation more. So I think that those are some really, really great, valuable rules for our listeners to make sure that they adhere to. I think those are awesome.
You can also go into the website, goldenrules.se, and you can sign up and you can share this and get other friends and sign up for it and just follow the rules.
Awesome. Yes. Always follow the rules. It's good. And I'd like to know from you also that some of the programs that you've started are relatively new. Women Up Sweden, I believe it said that it started January 29th of 2014, so it hasn't even been a year yet. So I'd like to know from all the initiatives that you've been a part of and all the projects that you're starting, what do you think that this impact will have on Sweden and other countries in the world?
Well, I hope that the women that are attending these programs get more knowledge and become more self-confident that it's not that difficult to become a leader. I usually say that when I was appointed as a party leader, I think my view on this was that it was so difficult to be a leader. And it's such a myth that just men can become leaders because it's so difficult. And after 11 years as a party leader, I say, well, it's not that difficult. Every woman can be a leader, but you need to get trained. You need to know how to do it, and you need to get a network that can support you when you are a leader. And I think all these initiatives, it is about supporting women, it is about training women, it is about getting them network, it is about showing that there are role models to look at, it is about giving them context to mentors so they can ask when they are in their leadership position or if they are discussing about taking a leadership position, she can ask somebody about some advice. And I hope that this work will encourage much more women to take these positions and also see that they are great leaders. I think that many women are much more brave when they become leaders. They do the right thing. They are engaging people in their organization. They are very cautious about the economy. So I've seen so great leaders from that have taken place, and all these women are doing such a great job. And I'm glad that I've been able to encourage them to do so.
Absolutely. And talking about that, helping them achieve what they want to do, what do you believe Women Investing Women means to you?
Well, I think that if you have a knowledge that there are a lot of women out there that have brilliant business ideas, but there are also a financing system that don't see it. I think that Women Investing in Women, they can encourage more women to start their business, to grow in their business. And we can also show that many of these women are such bright business women. They do great in their business. They earn a lot of money and they are profitable. But you need to have people that believe in your business idea and understand your business idea. And I think the more we do here, the more we will show the sort of say the whole economy how important women business ideas are and how important it is that much more women start their business.
Mm-hmm. So here on Women Investing in Women and Girls, what do you think that we can do to help advance that fight for female equality?
Well, I think if women can choose between becoming an entrepreneur, to take leadership in an organization, to be a politician or whatever. If women can choose much more, we will see many more women in leadership position. And the business side of this is one part of it, but we have to encourage many more. And if you look at this from an economic point of view, it is pretty strange that we believe that if we don't have the same possibilities for women as we have for men, that we will grow in our economy. I think it's the opposite. If we use the whole population, boys and girls, women and men, we will definitely have a better economy and a better balance in our economy. So from an economic point of view, I think it's crucial that the knowledge and the all the ideas and the engagement for both men and women are so important in the coming years.
Definitely. You've had a background in politics, like we've gone over, and you've had experiences in different areas of expertise as well. So I'd like to know what advice that you would give to women who do want to pursue those types of careers, and maybe some things that you wish somebody had told you as a piece of advice before you got started in your career as well.
Well, first of all, I think it's good to know that if you're talking about now a value-based leadership, which is the thing that people are talking about and that you need in the future, I think it's good to have experience from the private sector, from the public sector, from the social economy, being a politician, working in an agency or whatever. These different kinds of experience is important. And at the end, I think if you build on your self-confidence and believe in yourself, I think you have a strong position to stand on. But of course, you have to work on this. And that was what I have done during the years. And I got supported quite well. And last but not least, develop your network, because you will need that. My experience is that I have worked too hard and I haven't used my network enough. So use your network and build your network. It's important.
Great. Thank you for that as well. And once again, we are going to continue this conversation after we get back from our next break. Once again, you're listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. And remember, if you are a listener, we do want to hear from you what you think of our conversation so far. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest and #girlsinvest.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Mada Loveson and Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And before we got to our break, we're talking about the types of ways that women can get involved in leadership, as well as the golden rules of leadership that we encourage all of our listeners to check out. And Mada, I'd love to now change the conversation a little bit to your experiences, not necessarily in the professional spotlight, but as a mother and a grandmother, and the types of experiences you have had as a woman and what you have done so far. So I'd love to know from you, what advice would you give to young women and girls?
Well, the advice is that you have to believe in yourself. I want to give some advice to the fathers first of all, because the fathers needs to understand how important they are for their girls. And sometimes when I'm out having speeches, I tell them that, well, I know that you don't care about your mother. Well, not, well they care, but not about equal rights. You don't care that much about your wives. But I know one thing, that you care about your daughters. So I think we have to talk to the fathers and give them the advice that give your daughters self-confidence and support her and tell her that she can do anything that she wants. If I give an advice to my own daughter and my sons, I would say that If you believe in a society where girls and boys will have the same chances, you need to act in your daily life with respect for each other. Some are afraid of a society where women get stronger, but I think that we will develop a much better society when we have equal rights between men and women. And when it's as easy for boys and girls to become leaders, become entrepreneurs, to get education and whatever. And I think all of us in the old generation, we need to support our children and grandchildren to see that it's not a danger to have equal rights. It's an opportunity for the coming society when we have equal rights.
Perfect. And Maude, I'd like to tell you that today's a little bit special because we actually have, my dad is actually sitting on the conversation as well. So I think he heard your advice as well, and he's smiling over there. So,
but I think it's important. And if you tell the fathers that they are important and also show them why they are important, I think they will grow in their relation to their daughters too, and they will also give a better society to their sons, because when we have equal rights in our society, it's much better society.
Fantastic.
I absolutely agree with that advice. I keep telling Michelle that never think what you can't do, always think what you can do. So it's critical advice, and always encouraging my daughters. I have two of them. Always encouraging my daughters to shoot for the stars, and always realize your dreams as well.
Michelle's actually great. A twin. Michelle is actually a twin. She's got a twin brother as well.
But I think that's great. And if you don't have any dreams, if you don't believe that you can fulfill your dreams, it's quite a sad life you live. So to encourage people, boys and girls, to have their dreams and go for it, you may not reach the stars, but some of the stars you will reach. And if you look at my life, I think nobody, well, some maybe, my father maybe, but nobody would have said when I was a young girl that I would become a deputy prime minister of Sweden. I have low education. I grew up in rural areas. I didn't have that time of economic support because we didn't have that money. But I have taken all the chances that I've got during my lifetime, and I've done my best in every position, and that has taken me to the position where I am now. And I'm so grateful for all these chances that I've got on the road. But I've also pushed myself to try to take positions that I didn't really believe that I was able to cope with. But I've taken the chances, and I think that's how we should act too, to support women leadership.
Fantastic. And Maude, could you tell our, we've got a global audience of listeners. Could you tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what part of Sweden, and what it was like?
Well, I grew up in the north part of Sweden, in a small village and on a farm. And at that time, in the 50s and 60s, we just had 10 cows. And it was quite tough because we didn't have so much money, because to be a farmer at that time was not so good. But we had food on the table, and we lived a very happy life. We had to work hard to get education because we didn't have any role models. So we had to work hard for that too. We had to move from our cities, most of us, because we didn't get any job here. But that was also good because that gives you new experiences. Of course, when you have that background, you are also grateful when you have got the chances to develop your skills and you have got chances to develop in your business career. So I'm very grateful for that, but it has been a quite hard time many times, talking like our English conversation here, one must say that I didn't have that good education, so I have been working so hard to be able to sit and have conversations like this in English. So it has been a tough time, but I've worked hard, and I've been pushed to.
You love it. And it's clear that your background and the way that people are raised definitely has an influence on the type of person and the leader that they will become in the future. And I feel like although people may experience struggles and hardships at a young age, often that makes for somebody who has – the moral drive in themselves, that when they do get older, that they really, really push for change or for advancements in wherever they came from, or has that type of identity that really makes them successful when they're older. So definitely feel like that has a very big influence, and I think that's very special.
Yeah, and I also think that you want to show them that you can do it. Because I heard when I was young that, well, coming from the rural areas, coming from a farm, we shouldn't listen to her, and she's not big enough, and she's not important enough. And I said to myself, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them that I can do it. And I think that's a very good driving force when you come from that type of background, that, well, one day I'm going to show them that I can do better. And I've done that, and many others too. But of course, it has been tough during the years. And of course, that has also given me the responsibility when I've been in that position to have power to also change some of the systems that don't support those women and girls that don't have the right opportunities and the right background or whatever it is.
Excellent. And do you have anything that you'd like to say else in the show? Any closing remarks or any piece of advice or hope for the younger?
And the
type of world that you would want your granddaughter Elsa, that we went over, to live in when she gets older as well.
Well, I want to tell Elsa, she's 2.5 years now, and all the other young girls, that if you take the chances, if you are brave enough to try everything, you can reach the moon. And there are so many opportunities out there. You just need to believe in yourself and see that you're such a brilliant girl. You have so many talents. You have so many good ideas that we need in our society. And me as a grandmother, I'm going to do whatever I can to change the society so you will get the same opportunities as boys get. And when would you come to that society where boys and girls, men and women, have equal rights, have the same opportunities, can fulfill their dreams in the same way? Then we live in heaven.
What a perfect way to end the show. That was incredible.
Thank you.
And once again, we do want to hear from all of you. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting. And we do want to hear from you what you thought of this show and what you thought of Maud's advice. Once again, Maud Olufsen, thank you so much for being a part of our show. It was a great honor.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate very much the work that you're doing. You're so professional, and you're doing such a great job. So a big hand to you.
Thank you so much. And we'd also like to thank our listeners for listening to our show as well. Once again, you've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. The show is produced by Kidstar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network. And Kidstar Radio, we empower kids.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls.